This is the Conway and Carolla Show.
I'll be high as a kite. We'll see how it goes.
With special babbling sidekick, Danny Bonaducci.
Really?
And an occasional appearance by Tom Likas.
Yes.
And also Frosty, Adi, or Frank.
Really?
Maybe even John and Jeff, if they're here early.
Finland?
All right, welcome everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. And now a man who makes me laugh more than anybody else in show business, Adam Carolla. How are you, sir?
Wow, such high praise.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, I was thinking about this morning. I walked outside my house and I grabbed the newspaper. I still get the LA Times only because I'm too lazy to cancel it.
Yeah, plus and they really guilt you. And especially, you're canceling the newspaper, you know. You're not giving up cigarettes or weed or, you know, beer before noon. You're basically saying, I've decided to become an idiot. I no longer am interested in reading. I'm just going to watch reality TV until my brain drips out of my ear. So you got dunce cap or some kind of parting gift. You can. How about one of those paddles with a ball on the end of it and a dunce cap?
Well, you know what it is it's such a, like, an archaic idea that you would have to go out to your driveway, you know, get dressed to go out and get the news that you now can get on the internet updated instantly. And also, you leave that paper in the driveway more than 2 or 3 days, and whoever's going to rob your house, that's a clear sign that your ass isn't home.
I know. That was always one of those things where you always got to get the neighbor to pick up the mail because if they see the paper piling up. But on the other hand, maybe they just think it's a trap you're setting. Like, you're just sitting by the front door with a shotgun for 4 days straight going, come on, look at that paper pile. Come on in. Yeah. Daddy's got a present for you.
You know, I went to my wife banged up one of our cars, I should say. And so
do you still do what I do? Like, you're talking to people in front of your wife and you go, yeah, come on over to my house. Right. Let me show you around my house. I'll pick you up my car, show you around my house, and you can take a look at her kids. They don't like it when you do the my. I do the my with the house. I just did it. I do the my with the house all the time.
I do the exact same thing.
Pardon me for putting the down payment down and making all the goddamn mortgage payments, for slipping up and thinking it might be my house.
Right. I do the same thing with cars and the house. I go, yeah, I got my house in the valley. And, our house in the valley, because she lives there too. But she banged up the mirror. She threw the car into a pole. And God love her, she's the only girlfriend or wife or anybody I ever had in my life where she was willing to go out to a body shop and get some estimates.
Right.
And two things. One is that's a female living hell. To go out and do that, because guys will, I mean, they see a sucker coming in when they see a chick coming in with a car.
Also, the body shop is one of those wild fluctuation places. Like, we took it to the one place on the west side, and they wanted $4,400 to fix the bumper.
Right.
And then I took it to a guy in Sun Valley, and he said he'd do it for a 12-pack. Like, what? I mean, like, I understand in life, you can go to the Arclight Theater and buy a $12 movie ticket, or you can go to the UA in Van Nuys and buy a $9 movie ticket.
Right.
But only in body repairs does it seriously, your first bid may be $4,800. Look around, that'll get into like $470.
Yeah, it's like when you go to a vending machine, you may pay 60 cents for a bag of chips or 90 cents for a bag of chips.
Right, but it's never 60 cents or $118.
Right.
Jesus Christ, who's got change?
But, and when you talk to the body guy, he always makes you feel like it's your dad and you just wrecked dad's car. It's like, oh man, look what you did here.
Yeah, and they also
tell
you stuff like, we use genuine GM or genuine Mercedes parts.
Right.
Those other guys use corrugated tin roofing from Tijuana. And oftentimes stop and yield signs that have been ripped off municipal counties and beaten into the shape of a fender. Is that what you're looking for? If you're not interested in fit or finish, well, then you go to the... Let's try to guilt you.
Right.
I sold my truck once. Tim, I'd never been more humiliated in my life, but I you're old enough and you lived in the valley long enough to remember the recycler days.
Oh, absolutely. You mean the paper that comes out.
Right.
Right, yeah.
And When you need it was an odyssey, by the way, that you went on if you needed a used pickup truck.
Yeah, but do you remember also going to a 7-Eleven at 7 a.m. on a Thursday to try to get the new recycler?
Oh, yeah, because that's when it dropped.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like DVDs drop on Tuesday, and the recycler would drop Thursday morning.
Right.
But here's, by the way, so a couple things. It'd always be weird because there'd be some guy who had some, you know, Toyota long bed pickup truck with 200,000 miles on it, and he wanted to meet you at a park in Chatsworth. I'll be the guy with the green visor parked in the handicap zone. Knock twice, you know, flash your high beams once and then slowly get out of your car. And people would come over to your house. You'd go to their house.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy. Great. But now here's what would happen with the recycler, and here's what happened to me. So I'm living in some crap box in North Hollywood. My stripper girlfriend moves out on me and moves into my grandparents' house. They're out of the country for like six weeks. Yeah, so yeah. She moves into their house. I'm left in my crappy apartment. I can't make enough to make my $750, you know, monthly mortgage there, or my rental payments. So I have a series of like idiots flopping at my house, you know, month at a time, 3 weeks at a time, paying me in beans, and I have to sell my pickup truck. And now here's the scary call. The recycler dropped on Thursday morning.
Right.
But what about when the phone rang on Wednesday night at 10 o'clock and Amir was on the airline? Hello? 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 You have Nissan? Yeah? You have Nissan for sale? I thought the paper came out. This is good. I thought the paper came out third. Yes, it is good. How much you want for Nissan? $1,600. No, it is no. $900. And I'm like, do you want to see it? No, it is. How many miles? 55,000. Okay, 800. It's like I'm the guy. You want to? Who's the truck? It is for daughter. It's for college.
Right, exactly.
It's like, well, how did you get the payment? It is good. So there were the guys who ran the used car lots, like right. On Lancashire, who would get hold. They must have known somebody at the recycler.
Right, and that's how about that for a connection in your life?
You got deep throat over at the recycler. He's going to keister a couple of copies of Thursday's edition, hot off the press, and get it over to Ahmed's place late Wednesday night, so he can get the jump on the competition.
Yeah, and he drops that hot recycler off as if it's 10 kilos of coke.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to get caught.
He does a move where he puts it under his arm like a racing form, and he walks past the guy at Bluffside Park and slips it to him. So this guy gives me a call, and he comes over to look at the truck, and I've tried to spruce up the truck, and I bought the truck always had a right fender that was all caved in, and I bought a aftermarket fender, you know, one of those just primered fenders. I probably bought it out of the recycler, ironically.
Right, it's the chick repellent.
Right, and I bolt that baby on, but it doesn't line up very well.
Right.
I fit it as well as I can fit it, but it's clearly not made by Nissan. And so when the guy is trying to haggle with me, and by the way, people from other countries don't understand that Americans aren't really hagglers. You know what I mean? Like, they come from a place where they go into, you know, a supermarket and buy a can of corn, and the guy scans it and it says 99 cents, and the guy starts arguing with the scanner. They give 79. That is dent. This is not niblet. So I tell the guy, he takes a look at the fender, you know, he's trying to beat up my car, you know, right. And he's like, what is this? What is this? And then he goes, what is with this fender? And I said, yeah, not bad, huh? And he goes, whoever put this on should have his hands cut off. And he's like, did you put this on? I'm like, no, I don't know who. Someone may have. You know, then you start talking too much. Someone did it before I got the car. I don't know what was. I want to know, too. I don't know what. I asked the guy. He didn't know. You know what? I'm going to look into that. You just keep going.
Right.
Well, and I'm going to see if I can find that guy. We'll cut one of his hands off and send a message. So I did this crazy thing with this guy because he was pissing me off so much, and he was just haggling with me. And these guys have used car lots. They just want to. They're just going to flip them for $500.
Right, sure.
You know.
Right.
They're going to beat you up and then flip them. So I said to this guy, it was really diabolical. I said to the guy, he goes, all right, what is the least you will pay for this car? And I said, well, let me ask you this, what is the most you'll pay for this car? And he, without hesitation, he goes, that could not pay more than $1,200. It's not worth it. And I said, all right, have a nice day. And he said, Wait a minute. What is the least? And I said, well, $1,200 is the most? And he's like, yes, it is the most. And I said, all right, well, then we're good, because that's not my least. And he said, no, wait, what? How much? And I said, don't worry about it. You just told me the most, right? He said, yes, it is most. I said, $1,200 is as high as you could go, right? Yes, no higher. All right, have a good day. What? Well, how much? And I said, if it's one penny over $1,200, it doesn't matter because that is the absolute max you can go, right? And he said, yes, it is. I said, all right, then have a good day.
I know. Hey, you end up dealing with these guys. When my wife has a yard sale, and she does this about once a year, and she always regrets it, you know, because you're dealing with the lowest people in the planet.
Hey, whoa, you're talking about my mom.
Yeah, I know.
Easy.
Well, it's my mom, too.
Easy.
But I remember, you know, my wife would put these signs up in the neighborhood, and then, you know, they're saying the yard sale is Saturday morning starting at, you know, and for some reason, these effing yard sales have to start at bum F in the morning.
Right.
And you start when at 10 a.m. and no one's coming by. You guys start at 6:30 a.m.
Right.
So a guy comes by Friday night, and he goes, hey, can I get a preview of the yard sale tomorrow? And it's a preview? What the Christ is right? He goes, can I come in your house and look at the stuff you're going to sell? I go, I'm about to call the cops on you. What is this preview of the sale? Jesus Christ. And also, these people, you know, it was the recycler. Now it's the penny saver.
Oh.
And every one of those articles tells a story of the major, major bad decisions that this guy has made in his life. Like,
right.
He's like selling, you know, I saw one the other day. It says two used toilets. $15 each, or best offer. So he's willing to have somebody come by his house and take a look at these toilets, and he's got to show the toilets, and he's got to explain the stains on the toilets, and has to have a conversation.
I know.
And for $15.
Hey, I see stuff in there for $2 and $3.
Right.
You know, like, you know, space heater from the 60s that won't stop vibrating for $4. Like, there is, with Target and Costco now, is there ever a reason to ever engage with these people ever again in your life?
How about the one in the Penny Saver where you see wedding dress size 14 for sale? If that doesn't tell a story of how that marriage or, you know, that engagement blew up.
Like, hey, is that taffeta waterproof? Why? I'm looking for a cover for my RV.
Do you remember, like, you grew up in the San Fernando Valley, and I did too, and, you know, the guys who had the cars first were always the studs, because those guys, even though, you know, they may have been goofballs or geeks, they were popular because they had wheels.
Right.
And so, you know, you could go and you could TP houses, you can go to Tommy's late at night, you can go with these guys and you can get out of the house.
Right.
But these guys often asked for gas money, and the cheaper mother effers would also ask for wear and tear. You remember that?
Yeah.
Like, hey, everyone throw in $2 for gas, plus another $2 for wear and tear.
Yeah, and there was always a guy who had a car. I mean, all you had to do at my high school at North Hollywood High to be popular is have more than $3 on you at any given time and have a ride, like a way to get from point A to point B.
Right.
That was it. That made you Mr. Popular. Not necessarily with the ladies, but with me and all my slacker friends, because I never really thought about it, but I spent my entire adolescence mooching. Just like, hey, man, you're going to finish that sandwich? I could remember standing by guys playing playing pinball, going, hey, could you just let me play one ball? Just one ball? Just one ball? You have 11 credits. Just one ball? Come on, I won't tilt. Just one ball.
I won't tilt. One ball.
Like, you want to talk about, like, if my kid at age 14 is just standing in the 7-Eleven on Lancashire and Magnolia, just standing next to Chris Maslow saying, could I just play one ball? Just one ball? Just one ball? Just one ball? Lay, I'm going to cross the street to what the hell's that taco place there? Freddy's Tacos.
Henry's Tacos?
Henry's, yeah. I'm going across to Henry's to get broken taco shells and packets of taco sauce and tap water. Anyone need anything? And I'll come back to see if I can bum another ball off you guys.
And do you remember how outrageously angry people would get if you're playing pinball and a guy leans up against the machine and does go to tilt?
Yeah,
and game's over.
That was
you know, you might as well just drop them right there. Drop the gloves.
It's dueling time. Yeah, I was thinking though that kids today will never know the English you would put on the machine with your hip. Come on, you know, like that finesse that the good guys had to give the front of the Charlie's Angels machine or the Happy Days machine just enough hip to not tilt it, but to keep the ball from going out of the gutter there.
Yeah, those guys were the studs. The guys that played between stationary and just shy of tilt.
Right.
The guy that really knew the soft zone there.
Really walking the edge. Those guys were like the jet fighter pilots of our era. Those guys living on the edge. You know, adrenaline junkies. Guys that would stare tilt in the face and lick it. Yeah, I just said my entire childhood was just basically watching guys play either pong or pinball.
Right.
And then me just trying to bum stuff. You got to finish that sandwich? Go bite of that hot dog? Can I have one of those French fries? I need a ride. Who's got a car? Who's got some French fries? I'll tell you what. I need a ride to Van Nuys so I can get some free French fries and watch a guy play pinball.
You know, also, now that I think about it, now you brought it up, the guys who are real popular in the arcade is a guy that could put English on the pong game. You know, where he hits it at the bottom of that rectangle.
A little backspin on the pong.
Yeah, and it's now going up and down like crazy.
God,
yeah,
I mean,
those were the days.
There used to be it was funny because, like, pinball machines were what slot machines are to Nevada, which is as soon as you cross the line and pull over at the first AM/PM, there's a slot machine in the front door.
Right.
Pinball machines used to be in every 7-Eleven.
Right.
It's a weird thing. Hey, let's get a bunch of troubled teens hanging around the porno magazine rack. I mean, the guy behind the counter can't go take a leak because the place would just be ripped off the second he came back, right? Let's see if we can lure a bunch of troubled vagrant teens in here to stand around and read Lowrider and Mad Magazine while one guy feeds a quarter in every hour into this machine. Awesome. That's a strategy. Yeah, I wonder why those babies aren't in there anymore.
You know, it's also that they put those troublemakers in the front window. The 7-Eleven pinball machine was always in the door to your right or to your left, but it's right in the window where the cops could see you.
Yeah.
You know, it was never in the back where you could actually, you know, eat some of the food and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, just weird. Could you imagine kids today, like, going down to a 7-Eleven, just standing around watching another kid play pinball for an hour?
But, you know, I did that until I was in my late 20s.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I remember the 7-Eleven on Fulton and Moore Park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this one right there used to be a gas station across the street of Mobile. And I used to play the racing game in there well into my 20s. I mean, I was 24, 25.
That is pathetic.
Because I lived next door. So I would, take a couple of hits and walk over there with a pocket full of quarters and sit in there till like 3, 4 in the morning where the guy would actually shut them off like, at 3 in the morning. And, you know, he would shout, last game, and I'm 25 sitting in, you know, stoned in a 7-Eleven on Fulton and Moore Park.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, listen, there's no way my dad, who at that time was doing the Carol Burnett Show, was proud of me.
Still not proud of you. But it's a numbing sort of a pain now, where before it was searing.
Right. Hey, I know you have you got two kids. I got a daughter that just turned 3 years old, and I don't know if I told you this. Maybe I did tell you this, but I took my daughter to Disneyland for her birthday. And she just turned 3 years old, and she wanted to go to Disneyland, so we slid down there. And on October 4th, her birthday was on the 5th, we went on the 4th, it's a Saturday, and I'm in line to get in Disneyland, and the guy in front of me has a shirt that says, I'm HIV positive. And I go,
yeah,
oh,
I heard you talking about it. I wasn't on your show, but I heard you speaking about it with maybe Arsenio or something on a
it was
third Wednesday or
gay
something.
Gay day at Disneyland, and you know, right. Having to explain to my kid what HIV positive is on her third birthday at Disneyland. That was a lot of fun. But that's where my daughter said for the first time, she said to my wife, hey, we got to get off the merry-go-round. The ride's over. And my daughter says, Mom, I'm going to knock your ass out.
Really?
Yeah, in Disneyland, right?
Wow.
So I say to my wife, I go, hey, where did she get that from? And she goes, yeah, I wonder where she got that from. You know, because it obviously wasn't her.
Right.
But these kids nowadays, they get, you know, younger and younger when they tell you to shut the F up.
Like, Mom, after I'm done knocking Mommy out, I'm going to go get my T-cell count checked because I'm feeling a little light, see how my platelets are doing. I'm not sure if I have full-blown AIDS. I think I just got the HIV.
Yeah, I know.
Should have used a Purell on the teacups, but anyway.
She's just been squirting her all day with the Purell.
Yeah, I know the gay day at Disneyland. I got an idea, and because I've been down there for gay day too, just luck of the draw.
Every year.
Why don't we just have a gay amusement park?
Right, exactly.
You know, BFers, come on down. Every day. And what year we have straight day? Straight guys, guys with sweater vests and bad rimmed glasses, their family could walk around.
Yeah, and a shirt to say I'm HIV negative.
Right. Yeah. I know. I know I sound old fashioned, but it's true. When you have kids, I don't really care about the kids and their minds being warped. I care about me having to discuss things with them.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you know, you turn on the news and you see the dude with the beard with the girlfriend who's pregnant. It's like the pregnant man.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, my kids are two, so they're not asking questions, but there's going to be another pregnant dude that's going to pop up in 3 years.
Right.
And someone's going to ask me. It's prime time, by the way. It's 7:30. We're eating dinner. This is Entertainment Tonight. Someone's going to ask, how'd that man get pregnant?
Right.
And I'm not going to have any great answers.
Right. And, you know, somewhere in the next few years, you know, a guy's going to be pregnant. He's going to be in the hospital. And his mom and dad are going to be there. And the dad's going to scream to the nurse, you know, somebody get in here. My son needs another epidural.
He's dilating. I couldn't. And you know, it's so weird because, you know, it was a woman who became a man,
right,
who's now going to have been, you know, injected with God knows what and is using, you know, Katie Lang's eggs in him, but you're still looking at a dude with a beard wearing a trucker's cap who's talking about being on top of the world because he's bringing a little bundle of joy into the world and he's in his second trimester. And I can't get my, I don't think my reptilian brain can do the math. Like, it can't keep up with science.
Right, exactly.
It's like, the same thing that's going on with that dude's womb is the same thing that happens with me in my cell phone when some a-hole goes, you know, you have more computing power in that cell phone than the first space shuttle did.
Right, yeah.
And I go, this one you could do two different kinds of rings. And then I just go back to thinking about whatever I was thinking about.
Right, yeah. Like, I went in to get a new phone. I went to a Radio Shack. And I said to the guy, I said, I just want a phone. I don't want the camera. I don't want the internet. I don't want texting. I don't want anything. I just want a phone that I can dial and somebody else can pick up. And he says, we don't sell that.
Yeah. Sir, may I interest you in a time machine? I'll set it to 1989. You get one of those huge beige ones that looks like a prosthetic limb. Who decided that first huge one should have been creepy beige?
Right.
Isn't exactly. Creepy beige the weirdest color you can make for electronic device?
And and you know, and cell phones have, you know, in the last 5 or 6 years, do you remember when somebody had a cell phone in the 80s and the bill was like $1,200 a month?
Right.
You know, the guy was on it for like 18 minutes and $1,200. And now you can't, I mean, you can be on it every minute of every day and your bill's like $19.
Well, I remember just regular dialing, like at the Corolla house. I mean, we were cheap. We had a volatile combination of poor and then ultra paranoid cheap. And there was no such thing as picking up the phone without announcing, local call, local, not calling, do not, Dad, holster the sidearm. I'm not calling Santa Monica. You know, if I did, I'd do that thing where I let it ring once and then it'd hang up and then Uncle Vince would call back.
Yeah, my mom did the same thing where as soon as the phone would come off the hook, she would yell out, message units, message units. Like, what the Christ? I'm five. What is a message unit? Who Christ cares?
Remember getting collect calls?
Oh, yeah.
That was a big deal. A collect call from Cousin Bert. Oh, Jesus Christ. What's this going to cost me? All right. Put him through.
Now, nowadays, if you call somebody collect, you're really on your way out. I mean, you know, it's almost over.
I didn't even know you could make collect calls.
Yeah, I think it's from prison. I think that's the only time you get a collect call nowadays.
I could remember that, please accept my collect call feeling, and I could remember all the announcements of, it's an 818 area code, do not worry.
Right.
Local call, just need to use the phone.
When I was not doing well, I was living under the radar, the IRS was after me, and I bought a prepaid phone card. And I had 1,000 minutes on the prepaid phone card.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd call somebody, and I'd call, you know, a buddy of mine, Mark, down in Orange County. And he'd pick up the phone, and I'd say, it's Conway. He goes, I didn't recognize the number. What number are you calling from? I said, well, I'm calling from a phone card. He says, well, why do you have a phone card? I said, well, because I'm not really happening right now. And I said, by the way, having to explain to you why I have a phone card is chewing up all my savings.
Right.
I know I now pay as much as you do because I've had an 8-minute discussion every time on why I'm calling from this card.
You can tell your loser buddies, like when my caller ID on my phone lights up and it says Drew Morgan, it's my loser buddy Ray Oldhopper. Because guess who doesn't have a credit card to get a cell phone?
Right. Mine says Jennifer Clark, which is my wife, because when we met, I was still under the radar. I was flying, underground from the IRS.
Right.
So she had to put the phone in her name, and it's still under her name. You know, it says, whenever I call somebody, now it's Jennifer Clark. And they wonder, hey, why isn't it under your name? Like, oh, please. I don't know how to explain to everybody. Hey,
my whole, by the way, my mom and my grandma, my mom has the restricted number thing. Like, when she calls, her name doesn't pop up on the thing.
Right.
I'm like, hey, 007, who's looking for you? What's going on? You haven't had a job in 40 years. There's two people on the planet who know you're alive. What? You're living in a house that would cost $9,000 in 1953 in North Hollywood. It was paid off in 1961. What's going on? You got the KGB on you? She's doing a shoulder roll and firing a Luger into a cement truck or something. What's going on? They stay one step ahead of the man.
Right. Well, my mom had the same thing.
Does anyone care to you?
My mom was really weird about ever giving up her Social Security number. You know, nowadays, if a guy asks you on the street what it is, you just lay it on him.
You're right.
You know, because everybody can get it anyway.
Right.
So, but my mom, I remember in Colorado, she went to get a cell phone, and that was in the, I guess, in the 90s. And they said, we need your Social Security number. And she stormed out of there as if they were, you know, shooting her in the back with like a pellet gun.
It's a weird kind of a narcissism because it suggests that people are interested when they're not really interested. It's like that same BS move where the guy goes, got a really good idea for a reality show.
Right.
It's awesome. And you go, yeah? He goes, yeah, it's an awesome idea. Yeah, yeah, I think it's gonna be groundbreaking. Nothing else like it. Yeah, okay, what is it? Yeah, I can't talk about it. Thanks, Dillweed.
Hey, have you figured out how much your taxes are gonna go up under Obama? I did that last night.
No, I don't want to torture myself, although I did get an email from my accountant last night, ironically, probably about the time you were torturing yourself
right.
with Obama. It basically said, hey, man, you got a really big nut to pay in, and you don't have it right now, so take it easy with the spending.
Is that right?
We got to pay it up at the end of the year.
Oh, man. When I get those tax calls, nothing sets me off like a guy saying, I owe money in taxes, man.
And there's a difference, and I don't know why. I mean, it's easy, but there's a difference between you never seeing it and you sending it in.
Right.
You know, you have one of those crappy jobs like I used to have where you made $285 a week and Uncle Sam took $60 out of that. You never saw it.
Right.
And then at the end of the year, it was like, hey, I'm getting a present. They're giving me $311.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, great. You paid in $9,000 and they're paying you back $300 and right. you're like some retarded kid grabbing it with both hands running down the street yelling suckers. Now, I get paid all my money, and they're like, guess who needs a check for $450K?
Is that right? Jesus
or
Christ.
Or whatever
man.
The hell it is.
Right.
It varies from year to year, but the point is there's a huge difference between them skimming something off the top
right.
every week and you sitting down and writing them a check for $250,000 or $400,000 or $80,000.
Right. And when you pay that kind of money in taxes, I live in a neighborhood out in the valley where it's, pretty decent homes and everyone's paying their share in taxes. And I drive out of my driveway and there's a pothole that's about 7 inches deep.
Right.
And then you go into, you drive to work and you go down Normandy, or Vermont, and you're just like, everyone else is here in an apartment and these streets are paved like they're paved in gold.
Well, the part about the whole thing that, chaps my hide, I have a couple things and I feel like I can speak freely because my family's totally Democrats. Everyone was on, Mom, I grew up on food stamps and welfare. I grew up poor. I was really punished by affirmative action because I was a super poor guy who was trying to become a fireman, but I couldn't because I was white and there's like a 7-year waiting list. I never had a thing handed to me, so I feel like I can speak my mind on this. When I say pay my fair share, when I see the Democrats and Bill Maher and everyone else and all the celebrities out there going, hey, we just want you to pay your fair share. Fair share? First off, I do pay more from a percentage standpoint than you do already, but let's put that aside. I pay in 1 year what my mom, my grandmother, my dad, and everyone in my family combined has not yet paid in their lifetime. Fair share? You want me to pay my fair share? I'm paying their fair share.
Yeah.
I'm paying everyone's fair share. What are you talking about? You just want me to pay? And then they do that thing where they go, oh, cry me a river. You got a Lamborghini. Don't worry about what I have. I love that fact where, well, what do I have to do then? So if I buy a Lamborghini, I got to pull off one tire and two cylinders and a spark plug and give it to you? Because you haven't figured out a way to make any goddamn money?
Right, exactly.
Hey, oh, okay, but your life's not so hard. And here's what I would say to every single one of those folks that wants to spread the wealth, who does the thing where it's like, because my whole family does this. Why do you need this? You know there's people that don't have adequate health care. You know there's people that don't live, they're barely making their mortgage. You know there's people, that's their always argument is there's people lower than you.
Right.
Well, let me say this. Poor people in this country have it better than most people around the world. So, while you may be poor and you may be struggling to make ends meet and you may have one or two cars or two or three TV sets, you at least have a roof over your head, you have basic cable, and you have food in your pantry. A lot of citizens of this earth have dirt underneath their feet and no clean water to drink. So, how about you support them?
Right.
Because there's always somebody underneath you who doesn't have it as good as you, and now that's your excuse to take care of them and everyone around them?
Yeah.
If you want to play that math, we can keep going. Because you, who are just driving a Tercel and just making ends meet, and just a struggling school teacher, and only, I bet you have three TV sets in your condo. And I bet you're richer and live a better lifestyle than 95% of the people on the planet. So, instead of worrying about coming up to my level, how about you take care of them?
Yeah, you know, I read a stat online the other day that 2 billion people on this planet, 2 billion people don't have a toilet in their apartment, their house, or wherever they live.
Every Democrat who wants the taxes raised should get those people a toilet, and then we'll talk. Because, listen,
right,
you guys are always worried about what the rest of the world is going to think about us. You're talking about a global village, right? And now with the worldwide internet, there's no more borders and there's no more barriers and everyone's brother. Good. Take care of the 2 million people with no toilets, and then you can hit me up for more car money.
Well, it's like the people who are, you know, the women's movement and the, you know, the National Organization of Women. Women have it great in this country. You know, you go to other countries, and at, you know, at 14, they strap you down and they, you know, burn your clitoris off.
Sure.
You know, that's, or you cheat on your husband and they bury you up to your head in sand and then stone you to death.
I worked both those themes into my daughter's bedtime story last night. I said 13 on the clitoris. That's trying to get her moving. But yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, and real quickly, I know you got to run because you're a busy man. You got to spend all the money. But I'm with you on if you ever want to put together an organization or a group of people on the radio where we all decide to play the F word one day on the air, and then, you know, if somebody gets fired, we all quit. I'm with you on that, because I can't believe in 2008 that I have to say poopies. And I have to say poop on the radio instead of the S word.
I was watching Bill Maher's show the other night, about 3 weeks ago, and he was talking about an adjustment. And he was talking about the government calling, or Bush calling, our current financial situation an adjustment instead of a full-blown depression. And he said, in his show, an adjustment is when you're jogging in your sweatpants and your penis comes out of your underpants and you got to get it back. That's an adjustment. This is more than that. It was funny.
Right.
And the following morning, I was watching CNN, and they showed the clip, and they said, this is no adjustment, according to Bill Maher, and he told the joke, but they bleeped out the P. So the penis.
Jesus
so he said,
Christ.
Like, an adjustment is when you're jogging your sweatpants and your bleep comes out of your underwear. So, of course, you think something much dirtier than penis.
Right.
Number one. Number two, you guys are a news organization. You can't say penis. If Dr. Sanjay Gupta came on, he could say penis all he wanted. You can't say penis. And then you're showing a clip of Bill Maher in your news organization.
Right.
It's not up to you to edit news. Like, if you have footage of a helicopter crash, you can't edit it, can you?
Right. Exactly.
You show the goddamn crash.
And the most egregious act I think I've ever seen of censorship was when there's a documentary out there that shows, you know, the World Trade Center about to be attacked, and these two French guys were filming this firefighter, and the firefighter looks up and he sees a plane going to a building, and he says, oh, F, and he uses the whole F word, and they bleep that out.
Right.
Now, if that's not the greatest place or the greatest time ever to use the F word, where you see a plane crashing into a building and you think 50,000 people are going to die, then we have no shot.
Well, they don't edit out the part where there's 221 people in the plane that hits the World Trade Center and they're all eviscerated moments later.
Right.
So we bleep out the F word because, and by the way, when they bleep out OF, we all just say the F word in our head.
Right.
Unless it's a Bill Maher situation, in which case we say something worse than what Bill Maher said. But either way, I really do think the FCC, someone just needs to take a stand. I mean, Jack Silver's panties are like in a sheepshank knot over these guys. Everyone is scared to death about what these guys are going to do, and I say we take a stand.
I'm with you. I'm
Jesus
with you.
Christ, it's weird to take a huge.
You know, with the internet and with cable and with Sirius Radio, I mean, we're 15, 20 years behind everybody here.
No ass. I mean, seriously, it's the only place in society where we've taken a step backwards. It's really like, I got an idea. You know what? I'm for all this integration and Obama and everything, but let's just get the blacks their own drinking fountain again. Just that.
You know, I had, when we were about 10 years ago, we were working on the station, and I called somebody an a-hole, but I used the whole term on the air after 10 o'clock. And they said, that's not a safe harbor. Even after 10 o'clock, you can't use that term. And I said, well, how many seconds do I have to put between a and hole to use that term? And he says, 7 seconds. So I said, okay, that guy's an ass. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And he's a hole. And then you can do that. But you can't butt those two words up together.
We asked Comedy Central when we did the Man Show, how much ass can we show on our show?
Right.
And because you can show ass crack.
Right.
And they said, they thought about it for a while, and they got back to us, and they said, 3/4 ass crack. So we came out with 3/4 ass crack shorts for the juggies. Does anyone else, am I the only one who realizes how goddamn ridiculous this whole retarded dance is?
It really is amazing. It's unreal.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I wanted to play McCain saying the C word.
Right.
Because he said it by mistake, and he didn't say it at anyone, and it was newsworthy, and it was already ran on television live, and it was just a syllable.
And all we do is inconvenience people, because they're going to go look at it on YouTube anyway. So now it's oh, I got to put it on YouTube, because this idiot can't say it, and I
know.
Look at it.
The FCC has turned into the Gestapo, and guys like Jack Silver, like Colonel Klink, they're just scared to death. The guy doesn't know what to do. And so he calls me, and he says, don't do it. Don't do it. And then he says this one. Let me call the attorneys and run it up their flagpole. Like they ever greenlight anything.
Right, exactly.
They have a job where they can get fired for saying yes and never get fired for saying no.
Right, yeah.
So what do you think the answer is?
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Of course, ask the attorneys. Yeah. And by the way, here's how Jack Silver calls the CBS attorneys. He hangs up the phone. 1 Mississippi. 2 Mississippi. Ace man, yeah, just got off the blower with New York.
Yeah.
No can do. I'd love to see what he does when he's calling the authorities.
And I also like the fallback position of you can put it on your website. Like, oh, is that right? We have permission to do that,
awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, buddy, thanks for coming on, man. It's always great to talk with you, and I guess we'll be hearing from you on the think tank as well coming up November 7th.
That's
going to shake down.
And speaking of censorship, my movie, The Hammer, which is out now on DVD, R rating for no good reason.
Are you kidding me?
R rated.
Why did that get an R rating?
Tim, you and I are going to buy a bottle of scotch and go to the park and try to get to the bottom of all this stuff
Christ.
One day. R rating.
Did they give you an explanation for that?
There's an F bomb.
There's one F word.
There's actually two, but you don't really pick them up because they're in context. It's not, I want to F you. It's just, F you. You know what I mean?
Right. You know, I lost the edge when I saw the movie. I was really enjoying myself. And I almost wet my pants when you're at dinner and you're giving the guy the credit card for the meal. And, you know, take these, you know, for backup.
I'm glad you liked it. And I was watching a commercial for Saw 5 tonight.
Right.
And it said rated R. And I thought, that's awesome. It's got the same rating my lighthearted romantic comedy has.
That's amazing, huh?
What a society and what a time. But
hey, real quickly, what was the first R-rated movie you ever saw? You remember?
I would have to say my semi-retarded dad took me to see Pepe on.
Oh, is that right?
When I was like 9.
Yeah, I think my mine was Kentucky Fried Movie. Remember that thing?
Oh, hell, now there's an R-rated movie.
I saw that at the Lorena Theater, and that's the first time I saw the Big V.
Yeah.
You know, when she flashes that thing. And I think
Samuel L. Bronkowitz presents.
Yes.
Catholic high school girls in trouble.
And I think, I'm 99% sure I was at the Lorena Theater. And
on Ventura?
Yeah, you remember you had to go up the stairs to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, sure.
I think I ran right up the stairs and peeled one off after I saw that.
Oh, my God.
That's
a hot movie.
Yeah, now it's a Starbucks, but I remember that theater. That was a
beautiful
theater.
Still get one off over there. I mean,
I know, but now it's in the Gap dressing room.
Whatever. Listen, that's hallowed ground. You're like an Indian. You have like ceremonial rights to that ground. A guy shaman comes in there shaking. It's like Cain with the bells on it. Energy. and Conway Jr. make them womp them in sync. Samuel L. Bronkowitz. Yeah, that was a hot movie.
It was good times. I enjoyed that thing, man. All right, buddy, go out and buy the hammer. I guess you already own it, though, right?
Yeah, I do. Anyone can go. You get it, you watch it, and you tell me if you think it deserves the R rating. That's all I'm saying.
All right, go buy the movie this weekend. Sit at home. It's going to be, it's hotter than hell, and there's no reason to go outside anymore. And God almighty, if this heat doesn't break soon. This is late goddamn October, and it's 95 in the valley.
The inside of my mouth is like a saddlebag.
Yeah.
I can't produce any more saliva.
I know. There's so much dust and
so
much
dry. It's so weird. It's like weird. Coughing and hacking everywhere.
Hey, I had a $100 bet. I've never met Bill Maher, but I had a $100 bet that he's 5'11 or taller. Did I win?
No.
Oh, hell.
He's
Are you
a
kidding?
Dwarf.
How tall is he?
He's probably 5'9".
So he's not 5'11 for sure?
No, he's for sure not 5'11.
That cost me $100 effing dollars.
No, because almost every time I've seen him, he's wearing a suit. And when you're wearing a suit, you're wearing suit shoes.
Right.
And that's going to make you 6 foot, right?
Right.
I mean, I'm 5 inches taller than he is easily. Christ. He's no way. That's him. That was a horrible bet.
I know. Well, I got odds on it, you know?
Oh, okay, but you got odds. But, yeah. I mean, he's a dwarf.
Oh, hell. All right. All right.
Sorry.
All right, $100. All right, Adam, thanks for coming on, buddy.
Good to be had.
All right, appreciate it, man.
Take care.
All right, take care. You can listen to Adam Carolla every morning on this station. Nobody makes me laugh that hard, and every Friday, at least, 5, 10, or 15 minutes of that session we have, I'm literally crying. That is funnier than hell. I'm talking about the Lorena Theater's sacred grounds for me. All right. We're coming up with news next. Gina, what's going on with that news, baby?
Well, Ron Howard is reliving the good old days of television, and if you need to get a hold of me, I'll be living overseas. We'll talk about this and more after the break.
Wow. Good luck. All right. This is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM. Talk.
FM Talk.